I'm very glad tonight that when I look back in my life, I can know and that 9 years ago in the city of Dublin, the Lord Jesus Christ saved my soul. And I know He saved me because when, on the Tuesday, the 19th of April, when I knelt down in my own bedroom, and when I cried to God for salvation, when I asked Him to take my sins away and to give me the new life that Jesus spoke about in His Word, He made me into a different person. And since that day, I have experienced the grace of God. I know what it is to have fellowship with God and to live the Christian life. I'd been brought up as a Roman Catholic in the city of Dublin. I wanted to be saved. I wanted to get to heaven and to be sure that when I died, I would be accepted by God. And the Roman Catholic Church told me that if I obeyed everything that they told me to do, if I had an excellent devotion to the Virgin Mary, that when I died, if I had done more good things than bad, I would be accepted into the kingdom of God. But the more religious I became, I went to confession every week, I went to the Mass and communion every morning, the more aware I became of my own inadequacy to please God. I was deeply convicted of my sin. I knew that I'd broken the commandments of God, and I knew that the wages of sin was death. And although I went into the confessional box every week, and I heard a priest say to me, "Your sins are forgiven you," when I came out, I knew within my heart of hearts that I was still carrying my sins around with me, and that there was a wall between myself and God. When I was 18 years of age, I was distressed because I was aware that if I was to die, I would be separated from God for all eternity. And I felt that if I went into a monastery, I would be bound to find God living the life of a monk. And I applied to go into a seminary, and I entered into a seminary, and for the first few months, life was really wonderful, life was very pleasant. But after a few months, I became aware that I was still the same Dermot Nash. I hadn't changed, and sin still had dominion over my life. There was no fellowship with God, there was no peace in my soul, and all the time I was aware that my religious observances were not satisfying God. And I spent 2 years in a monastery, and I decided after 2 years that I would have to leave. I felt I would have to leave because I realized that I had not obtained the thing that I was seeking for. And I went back to Dublin, where I rejoined an organization called the Legion of Mary. And in joining this organization, I had to take a solemn oath that I believed that God had placed Mary in such a high position that He Himself was subject to her. That all the grace of God was given by Mary to whom she pleased, when she pleased, in the quantity and manner that she pleased. I had to acknowledge that Mary had reared and sacrificed Jesus Christ for our sins, and that at the foot of the cross, that she suffered the same ignominy and death that Jesus had suffered on the cross, and that she had to be prepared to die for our sins in order to be saved. And we got a call, our organization got a call from the hierarchy in South America to say that they were losing the rate of 2,000 Roman Catholics a day to evangelical Protestantism. And they wanted lay Irish Roman Catholics who would go out to Buenos Aires and fight against English-speaking missionaries. And so concerned was I for my salvation that I volunteered to go to Buenos Aires. I remember kneeling down in my bedroom and I tried to think of Jesus, but I was told all Jesus was a stern judge. And I turned to Mary, who I was told was the mother of compassion, and I made a covenant with her. I said, "I will go to South America. I will make myself your complete slave if only you will make sure that when I die I'm going to be in heaven and not in hell." And I was accepted by the Legion of Mary to go to South America as one of their missionaries. But when I was studying Spanish, I was down at the open-air gospel meetings in the city of Dublin to break them up. And we were instructed that on no occasion were we to discuss the scriptures with those who preached the gospel. We were told that if we ever read the Bible, we would become Protestants. because nobody who read the Bible ever listened to the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. They told us that the Satan had such a grip on this book that he used it to bring men and women down into hell. But I wanted a convert before I went to South America. And when I was down one Monday night at the open-air gospel meetings of the YMCA in Dublin, I spied this young girl with her Bible underneath her arm, and I went over and started to speak to her. And I told her that I could prove to her from the Bible that her whole Protestant faith was completely false and had no reality in it whatsoever. And we agreed to meet one evening. I went and got myself a Douay version of the Bible. I'd never seen a Bible in my life before, even though I had spent 2 years training to be a priest. But I got myself a book on Catholic doctrine, which was supposedly to give the chapter and verse for all Catholic doctrine. And when we went into Cafola's on O'Connell Street for a cup of coffee to speak about religious things, this girl said to me, she said, "Now before we have an argument, I want to tell you something." And she told me how she was brought up as a nominal Protestant and how at a gospel meeting in the city of Dublin YMCA that she'd given her heart and soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. She told me of how she'd confessed her sins before God and when she approached him in faith of the great transformation that he had made in her life, she told me how she'd been saved. And as she spoke to me, I realized that here was somebody who was speaking from an experience. Here was somebody who had met with God and who had achieved something and obtained something that my heart and soul was longing after. And we started to discuss the scriptures, and I was very confused. I was confused because I read in them that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I was told in school that it was Mary who loved the world that gave her only begotten Son to be crucified. I read that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life, and we'd been taught not only in school but in the monastery that Mary was the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man could obtain salvation unless he came by Mary. And I was greatly confused because I just couldn't reconcile the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church with what I was reading in the New Testament. And when I went home, I read the scriptures for many weeks, and I was reading John's Gospel one evening. And I was reading John chapter 10, and I came across the verses 27 and 28. "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and to all eternity they shall never perish." And at that very moment I realized that if I was really a member of the one true holy Catholic Church, if I was a member, a sheep of the flock of Jesus Christ, that I would be able to say, "I have eternal life and I'll never perish on the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ himself." And at that very moment I realized that salvation was not by religious observances. Salvation was not by being a member of any particular church or by being baptized. Salvation came by having a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I realized it would mean associating myself with the Protestants in Dublin, and I was afraid that it was going to cost too much. And for about 3 weeks I fought against the strivings of the Spirit of God, and I knew I should in some way yield to Jesus, but I just didn't want to. I was afraid. And it was on the Tuesday night of April the 19th, I went home early and I went into my bedroom. Now, I'd never been inside a Protestant meeting. I didn't know the phraseology that we use in evangelism today. I'd never heard anybody's testimony except this girl's, and I didn't know what I was supposed to do. But I knew that I had sin in my own heart, and I knew I wasn't right with God. And as I knelt there, I cried to God, and I asked him if he would forgive me my sins and give me the new life that I'd read about in John's Gospel. And as I prayed that prayer of faith, the burden of my sin just vanished away. And a great peace and joy came into my soul, and I became a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the presence of God, which I had been searching for all those many years, was for the first time in my life, it became mine. I had spent many weekends on St. Patrick's Purgatory in Donegal. It's a little island of pilgrimage. And we would spend 3 days on this island, 48 hours without any sleep, and we'd walk around this island on our bare feet doing various penances, seeking to get into the presence of God, but all to no avail. But I thank God that day when I confessed my sins before Him, and when I placed a personal trust in Jesus, I found that the gospel of Jesus Christ is indeed the power of God unto salvation. And when I told my family of the step that I had made, my mother ran up to the parish priest. An aunt of mine living in London told me this some time later. When she went into the parish priest, she said, "My son has become a Protestant." And the parish priest said, "Well, when did it happen?" "Well," she said, "about 3 and 2.5 months ago, we started to read the Bible." And the parish priest said, "Woman," he said, "if you'd have come to us 2.5 months ago, we could have taken the scriptures from him and he would be safe. But because he has read the Bible, he is gone forever and we'll never see him back again." They came down to my home. They interviewed me. They wanted me to go back into the Roman Catholic Church. I'd gone down to the open air gospel meetings and I testified to my fellow members of the Legion of Mary of the great transformation that Jesus had made in my life. And they weren't very pleased about it. And they told me that they weren't going to allow me to live in our own home anymore. This, I suppose, is freedom. The room in the house was ours. My father had worked hard and he'd bought it. But an outsider, because he was a bishop, was able to come into our home and demand that I should be turned out under pain of excommunication. And I eventually had to leave home. And before I left to go to London, a Jesuit priest asked me if I'd go and see him. Now I was afraid of the Jesuits, because if you want to become a Jesuit, you have to have 8 GCEA levels to start off with. And when you have 8 GCEA levels, that's only the start of it. You have to do 13 years academic training on top of that before you're qualified to be ordained a Jesuit. They are the absolute brains of the Roman Catholic Church, and I was afraid to stand before this man with the little knowledge I had. But believing in the Lord, I went before him and we had the discussion. I brought with me a Ronald Knox New Testament and we opened it out and we had about 1.5 hours discussion. And the Word of God seemed to penetrate even into his own heart and soul. And he'd made a list of about 12 questions which he was not able to answer from the Word of God. And he said he would have the answers for me when I came back in 1 week's time. Well, I went back in 1 week's time, and I remember our brother Johnny Cochran, when he heard I was going into the Jesuit monastery, he said to me, "For heaven's sake, don't go, or we'll never see you again." But I wanted to go because I wanted to have confirmation in my own heart and soul. I wanted to hear what the Jesuit had to say. Well, the appointment was for 7 o'clock. And at 7 o'clock, I was shown into a very large, cold room. At 8 o'clock, the Jesuit opened the door and saw I was still there, and he said, "I'll be back in a few minutes." At 9 o'clock, he came again, and he opened the door, very surprised to see I was still there, and he said, "I'll be back in a few minutes." And at 10 o'clock, he came into the room. He had to come in by 10, because that's the time when light's out, and everybody has to prepare to go to bed. So he came in to me, and he walked into the room, and he demanded that I should get down on my bended knees and repent of my sins. And I looked at him in bewilderment and I said to him, "But what about these questions you are going to answer for me?" He said to me, "How dare you question the church?" He said, "You will either get down and repent of your sins or you leave this building and go straight to hell." So I picked up my Bible and said to myself, "I better go while the going's good." And when we got to the door, I turned to the Jesuit and I said to him, "Well, thank you very much for all the great help you've been to me." And he said, "Well, how have I been a help to you? Are you going to come back into the church?" And I said, "No, I'm not indeed. But you," I said, "you've absolutely shown to me that with all your education and with all the knowledge you have of the Roman Catholic Church that you're in, it is impossible for you to prove your doctrines from the Word of God. And it is also impossible for you to answer the scriptures from the New Testament which confute the doctrines of the Roman Catholic Church." And I left Dublin and I went to live in London, where I am at the moment. And it's 9 years now since I've been saved. It's 9 years since I've come into this wonderful fellowship of the Christian faith. And I want to say how thrilled my soul is to know that my sins are forgiven. to know and have this joy that passes all understanding, and above all, to have fellowship with God, to be able to meet with God in prayer, to be able to commune with Him, to be able to live in the full assurance of my salvation. This is the most wonderful thing, and I thank God for it from the bottom of my heart. Amen.